as a little exercise, all right? I'm going to name something that happens, and you shout out either good day or bad day, okay? So let's practice. I'm going to say good day, y'all sitting. Are you ready? Good day, right? Good day? Bad day? Okay, all right. You ready? I think you're ready. All right. The exterminator crawls under your house, but he never comes back out. Yeah, you got it. Bojangles gives you a senior discount and you're only 25. Y'all are good at this. You go on a blind date and it's your ex-husband. You call your wife and you tell her, I don't want you to cook, I want to eat out tonight. And you get home and there's a sandwich sitting on the front porch. Somebody's going to try that. You guys, watch out. You read the number on the bathroom wall and you realize it's your number. You're driving down 70 and your horn gets stuck right behind a group of Hell's Angels. You congratulate your boss and you ask her when her due date is and she ain't pregnant. Yeah, all right, I got one last one for you. The pastor preaches an extra hour on Sunday. Some of y'all got that one right. That's a good day. extra credit. We've all had bad days, okay? We've had days where we woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We've had days where we've been to crawl back in the bed and hit reset. But what do you do on the worst day of your life? That's where David and the soldiers are here in 1 Samuel 30. It wasn't just a bad day. It was the worst day. Okay, if you know anything about David in the Bible, you know he was used to winning. David was a winner. He was a mighty warrior. In fact, David was a giant killer. Right? We talked about this the other day. Last week we talked about how David defeated Goliath, the enemy of Israel. He was famous for his military conquest. And on this day in 1 Samuel 30, David was actually coming home from a military victory. He and his men had badly defeated the enemy. As we say around here, they whooped up on them, okay? That's why they whooped up on them. They beat the enemy badly. And after a long day on the battlefield, David and 600 men were coming home. And I imagine after a long day of fighting, a long day of defeating the enemy, they were ready to come home, sit down, eat a good meal, spend time with their family, and go to sleep in their own bed. How many of y'all, there's just nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Ain't nothing like it. They were ready to come home and unwind, spend time with family, get some rest. But instead of finding their family, they found a black cloud of smoke rising from their hometown. They rushed to the city gates and couldn't believe what they found. Everything they owned had been stolen. Everything. They wanted insurance back then. If it was gone. And their homes had been destroyed. There were no Home Depots in Ziklag. Okay? It was gone. And worst of all, their wives and children had been taken. Their families had been taken captive by the enemy, the Amalekites. And these guys were bad news. The Amalekites were the first enemy Israel encountered in the Promised Land. And they had been fighting Israel for hundreds of years. They would raid their villages and attack them in ambush. And the Amalekites were to David what Hamas is to modern Israel. They were terrorists. And when David and his men returned home, their families had been kidnapped by the Amalekites. Not good. Very, very bad. Tell somebody, not good. These men were experiencing the worst day of their lives. In an instant, they had gone from victory to devastation. From triumph to tragedy. They went straight from 2019 to 2020. In a moment, their whole world fell apart. I don't know about you, but I can remember a day in my life when everything was going pretty good, and in an instant, everything came crashing down. Anybody ever been there? 6 years ago, today, I had a brain aneurysm almost take me out, but by the grace of God, I'm still here. But I know what it's like when things would be going great, and all of a sudden, boom, interruption. Tragedy, pain, frustration. Here was David standing among the ruins of his home. His heart was broken for his wife and his children. He lost everything. And the men around him, the Bible this, rumors started going around. People started talking about David behind his back. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all got friends that when you're in your worst moment, they still talk about you behind your back? They don't have your back, they're talking about you behind your back. Amen? David was in his worst moment, and they were too, and they started talking about killing him. That's not good. Not only did David lose his home and his family, but those closest to him were turning against him. And the Bible says they all cried. 1 Samuel 34, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. Who says that grown men don't cry? These were soldiers. These were tough guys. These were men who had faced death many times. These were men who had been outnumbered and outgunned and still didn't back away from the fight. A lot of people think if you live by faith, it doesn't affect your emotions. Listen, when tragedy hits your life, it's okay to cry about it. I remember my great aunt Mary, who went to be with the Lord many years ago, but she was down there praying with a young lady at the altar, and the lady looked at her, and she said, "Sister Mary, I just can't stop crying." She said, "It's okay, baby, the more you cry, the less you have to be." Come on, tell your neighbor, it's okay to cry. That's an altar minister right there. The Bible said Jesus wept. If Jesus cried, I'm going to cry too. Amen. Ecclesiastes says there is a time to weep and a time to mourn. Weeping has a place in the time. But here's some good news. Psalm 35, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know it seems tough, but if you'll hold on, if you'll hang in there, joy is coming in the morning. Come on, look at somebody, tell them, this too shall pass. Amen. Whatever you're facing right now, it will pass. It might pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. Amen. And God has promised that joy is coming. In 2 Samuel 5, David found himself in the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means giants. David was in the valley of giants, surrounded by the enemy. He was dealing with some giant problems. Can anybody relate this morning? He was in the valley of giants, and he's sitting under a mulberry tree. That word mulberry in Hebrew is baka, which means weeping. So he was in the valley of giants sitting under the weeping tree. That describes my situation sometimes. How about you? Surrounded by gigantic problems, sitting under the weeping tree. Maybe some of you sitting under that tree right now, you've been weeping and crying and pouring out your heart to the Lord. And while David was under the weeping tree, the word of the Lord came to him. 2 Samuel 5:24, and it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. Then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go before you to strike the enemy. Hallelujah. Do you see what's going on there? God's armies are walking in the midst of your weeping. God is moving in the midst of your trouble. You might be down here crying, but there is a stirring in the heavenlies, and the armies of God are going before you, saying, stand up and get ready to advance and claim the victory. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming. David wept that day, but he didn't stay that way. Listen, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. Will y'all help me preach? Tell somebody, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So here's what David did. I got a short, two-point message, and we're going to get out of here. Amen. Two things David did to get ready to fight back. He went from totally devastated to taking victory, and this is what he did. Number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters, everybody around him was turning against him. Do y'all see the situation? Everybody wants to go after somebody, and they're all looking at David. And what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. crazy. Isn't it? I think David's lost his mind. But that's the Bible right there. Because my Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Amen. I lost my mind a long time ago. I needed to get rid of that thing. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Part of the problem with us today is we depend on everybody else to encourage us. We get down the dumps. We get discouraged. And instead of dusting ourselves off and picking ourselves up, we go to everybody else expecting them to make us feel better. You put a status on Facebook. Bobby's feeling kind of down today.
Jimmy could use a friend today.
What are you doing? You're asking other people to cheer you up. And guess what? That rarely ends well. Hello? You might be surrounded by people David was surrounded with. What do you do when you put, I'm not feeling too good about my life right now, and people start liking it? Think about it. I might not be good at math these days, but I can do that equation. When you depend on other people to encourage you, you are setting yourself up for more hurt. David had nobody around him to encourage him. So what did he do? He encouraged himself. A woman saw a father shopping with a screaming two-year-old in the grocery cart, and she overheard him whisper, "Be patient, Billy. You can handle it, Billy. It's okay, Billy." Then he said out loud, don't worry, Billy. We're almost finished." The woman said, "I don't mean to interrupt, but you're being so patient with your little son, Billy." He said, no, he's Tommy, I'm Billy." Sometimes you've got to encourage yourself. Hello? You've got to encourage your own self. David didn't just encourage himself, though. How did he encourage himself? Anybody know? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, when you belong to God, you have hope the world doesn't have. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." You've got the peace that passes understanding. You've got something that nobody else can comprehend when you belong to God. That's what my Bible says in 1 Thessalonians. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. I love Romans 8:28. It says, "We know that all things, good days, bad days, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." It doesn't matter what the devil throws your way. God says, "I will take that and I will work it for your good." There are some things in life that we have to go through. We want God to deliver us from the storm, but sometimes God delivers us in the storm and He keeps us through the storm. Listen to what God says to you, child of God. Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name." God knows your name. He has called you by your name. He says, "You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God is with you to keep you and sustain you through everything the enemy throws your way. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Hallelujah. I love 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Glory to God. We have a hope the world never dreamed of. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have a God who loves us and promises to work it all for our good. Hallelujah. Mourning is okay and weeping is okay, but discouragement is not. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid." God says, do not be This is a commandment of God. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Discouragement is deadly in the life of a believer. So much so that God has commanded us not to be discouraged. The Bible says that there is a time to mourn, but there is not a time for discouragement. Mourning says, I've heard about the past. Discouragement says, I don't care about the future. Mourning says, tragedy has stopped me in my tracks. Discouragement says, I have no reason to move forward. When we get discouraged, the enemy uses that against us. You may be going through a night of weeping right now, but I like what Elihu told Job. He said, God gives us songs in the night. That makes me think about Paul and Silas. The Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. Most of us like to shout and praise God when we come out of it, but they praise God right in the middle of the prison, at the bottom of the prison, wrapped in chains at midnight. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Notice that they were singing first. That's crazy. That's like David encouraging himself, and everybody around was trying to kill him. They start singing and praising God when they're in chains in the bottom of the prison. They didn't know the foundations were about to shake. They said, we're going to praise God anyway. They didn't wait until the chains were loose. They praised God in their darkest hour. And when they praised Him, deliverance came. Some of you have been mourning for a long time. You've been waiting and longing for God to heal you and restore what the enemy stole from you. You're waiting on God. The God is saying, I've given you a song, and it's time to sing, baby. David was going through it, but David knew how to get a song in the night. It was David who sang Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless God on the good days and in the bad days. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from my fears. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. When you trust God, you got to learn how to praise Him in the storm. When you're going through something, you got to learn how to put on a song and start praising God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I brought the Holy Ghost with me many times in the Lowe's and Walmart. I was praising God last night going through the car wash. I was just getting it, y'all. I came out and I was cleaner than the car. Amen. You got to learn how to get a song. The Bible says that when they were trying to come after David, David called the priest and said, bring me the ephod. What does the ephod represent? It represents worship. Bring me the ephod. It's time for me to sing. It's time for me to pray. It's time for me to get in the presence of God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And number two, now this is so important. It's going to get you ready to go from defeat to victory. It's going to prepare you to fight back for the enemy. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, David got a word from God. Verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop and shall I overtake them? And He answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Before David responded, before David said a word, before David did anything, he got on his face before God. Going to God should be the first thing we do, not the last thing we try. As so many people do. He got on his face before God. He got a word from the Lord. And David chose to focus on the word of God more than his circumstance. When you have a word from God, you're able to see past your situation. Too many times when we're going through something, we get tunnel vision, or as I like to call it, drama vision. We can't see past the drama, but when you take some time to worship and pray, God will help you see beyond your situation. Job 39 says that the eagle spies out his prey from afar. eagles see far, but chickens scratch in the dirt. You'll never soar the eagles if you're scratching around in the drama with the chickens. Amen. Here's the word God gave David when he got on his knees and pursued and cried out to God and worshiped and prayed. God said this, pursue and recover all. In other words, go ahead and fight back. Come on, somebody say fight back. And I think about the Amalekites. I think about the day that Joshua was fighting the Amalekites in the valley and Moses held up his staff and then Aaron and Hur held up his arms and they defeated the Amalekites in the valley and that day they declared Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. That same God that defeated the enemy in the valley that day when Joshua was still with David in the worst day of his life, he said, I am still Jehovah Nissi. I am still the Lord your banner and I will go before you and I will bring you victory. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn. Come on, tell somebody, it's time to fight. Oh, you've cried long enough, you've mourned long enough, it's time to take back what the devil stole. You've been praying, now it's time to start slaying. You sought the Lord, now it's time to get a sword. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, fight back. They got back everything the enemy had stolen from them. The Bible says that they recovered all. Why? Because David refused to be discouraged. He worshiped and sought God. And the voice of God said, fight back. It's time for somebody to get your fight back today. It's time to remember the power and the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 28:7, I will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Church, we don't need another politician. We need power from on high. We don't need legislative reform. We need a revival. We don't need a marketing campaign. We need a move of God. And it's time for the people of God to stand up, take authority, and fight back. Somebody shall fight back. We will not surrender this generation to the enemy. It's time to fight back. This world is at war between good and evil, darkness and light, heaven and hell, and there is no neutral territory. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. There is no neutral territory in this fight. You're either active in the army of God, or according to Jesus, if you're not active in the army of God, you're aiding and abetting the enemy. So I'm asking you, whose side are you on today? Because there's only one winning side. And the Bible tells us very clearly, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You've not given your life to Jesus. Make that decision today. Surrender your life to Him, and He'll give you victory, hope, peace, joy that you could never have in the world. When you've got Jesus in your life, and He is your anchor, your foundation, the whole world can fall apart around you, but you can have peace and stability on the inside because there's nobody, nobody like Jesus. Will you stand this morning? I want to take a moment. I've got just one more thought to share before we end the service, but I want to take a moment and lead you in a prayer. If you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus, will you just close your eyes for a moment? Pray this prayer if you're with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my anchor. Be my shelter. Be my rock. Lead me, and I'll follow. Come into my heart, change my life, and with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, here's an encouraging word for every believer in the house, whether you've been a Christian for 30 years or 30 seconds. This is for you. You need to know that David's greatest accomplishments happened after that day in Ziklag. After the worst day of his life. After the day where he lost everything. Some of you guys are coming out of 2020 and 2021, out of COVID, out of political dumpster fires, out of all that's going on with the economy and the train wreck that is modern culture today. And you feel like it'll never be better. Things will never be as good as they used to be. But I'm here to tell you this morning as we close that your greatest days are ahead of you. When David faced that tragedy at Ziklag, he wasn't even king of Israel yet. All of his greatest victories and achievements happened after that day. So I challenge you this morning, the enemy tries to lie to you and tell you you're defeated, you'll never come back from this, you'll never make it. The Word of God is saying, fight back, you're going to recover everything the enemy stole from you this morning. Hallelujah. I want to ask my wife to come lead us in prayer as the worship team comes today.
Lord, we just thank you, Father, Lord, that you give us that fight back. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that what the enemy has meant for harm, Father, in your people, God, that you are going to use for your glory, Father. And this morning, we take authority of what the enemy has tried to take and use against us. This morning, we take authority and we take it back. We fight back. Lord, I thank you, Father, for encouraging your saints this morning where they're down and defeated, Father, and they feel like things are never going to change in their situation. That this morning that they fight back, that they don't get weary and they don't give up, Father, but that this morning that they get that fight back, that they get that warrior back, that this training that you're giving them, Lord, that is giving them more strength to fight the enemy even harder, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, for just breathing life into your people this morning, Father, for giving them strength, for giving them hope, for giving them peace in the midst of the storm, God. God, for letting them to look at their circumstance and not grow weary, but to grow more powerful, to say, devil, you are defeated in the name of Jesus. God is my warrior. God, I thank you, Father, for turning things around for people this morning. God, I thank you, Father, for picking people up out of that miry clay and setting their feet on a foundation that cannot be rocked. Lord, I thank you for restoration in homes and in lives this morning. That where 2021 and 2022 have come across as being the years of defeat, that everything that we've ever known has gone to shreds. That safety, the church has been in battle. God, I thank you this morning, Father, that fight we are getting back. That even though the economy is crashing, that your believers are being blessed. So that they can bless other people and show your love and your mercy and your grace to those that need it. God, that people that are sick are being healed in the name of Jesus. People that have lost jobs, God, that you're bringing jobs into their life, God. Families that have been torn apart because of political views and discouragement and things that are going on in their life and disagreements, God, that this morning you're putting them back together to be a firm foundation of a family unit that serves God with all of their heart, Father. And God, I thank you, Father, for putting the church back together, Father. Where the enemy has come into the church and people have fallen out in a time where they need God like never before. God, that people are coming running to you, Father. That where people are just checking off church as an obligation, that no longer is it an obligation. But God, that we come to you boldly because we love you and we need you with everything within us to serve you, Father. Lord, I thank you that every church across Goldsboro is full, Father. Full of believers that are serving after you, Father. That the pews are no longer empty, but they're overflowing, Father, across this county, across the state of North Carolina. God, I thank you, Father, for a great revival to fall out. For people to never be the same. That when your saints walk out of here this morning, that they walk out different. They walk out of a church filled with hope. with peace, with joy, with strength, not defeated, but a winner and not a loser, above and not beneath, and that everything that they set their hands to, that you bless it, God. That your saints see the blessings begin to flow down where they've given up. God, I thank you, Father, for showing them how big of a God you are. And Lord, that people fight back today. That they encourage themselves in the Lord this morning. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we praise you and we glorify your name. Lord, we thank you that you are the way maker. That even when we don't see that you're working, that you are working things in our behalf. That you're closing doors that need to be shut. And you're opening up the doors that need to be opened, Father. And God, that we put our full trust in you, that the doors that you close are ones that are meant to be closed. And we don't need to keep pulling on those doorknobs. But we need to walk through the ones that you've opened. And Lord, we thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, for this day. And this word, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.